Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Unlock big savings and add style and security to your home with high-quality Schlage door locks from Menards. Whether you're looking for a traditional interior lock or a Wi-Fi compatible electronic lock, Menards has you covered. With more than 200 options of Schlage door locks in stock, save big on all door locks. And don't forget to check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Hey, hope everybody's having a good weekend. It's Tony Bruschi, and this is our week in review where we take a look back at some of our most compelling segments of the week. Give you a chance to re-listen or catch up on stuff that maybe you missed. Enjoy.
This is a podcast that seeks justice. Justice for the lives stolen by those in society that hide amongst us every day. Hidden in our towns, cities, and countrysides, the places that we work, and sometimes in our very own homes. This is Hidden Killers.
Welcome to the podcast. Thank you for joining us. My name is Tony Bruschi. Today we're going to be talking with detective and fingerprint examiner Jason Howe about the Alec Murdaugh case. He's with the Roxboro Police Department in North Carolina. And I want to get his insight specifically on how some of these things operate. It's easy for us to Monday morning quarterback it from individuals like myself who are not in law enforcement to say, well, maybe things should have been done this way, or maybe they should have been done that way. But it's a whole other thing when you're someone that deals with these situations on a regular basis and the psychology of them on a regular basis. And what we would say is, I wouldn't expect this to be that way. Maybe sometimes it is, especially when you're dealing with trauma. Jason, welcome to the program. I really appreciate having you on. When we're looking thus far at the case against Alec Murdaugh, has there been any evidence that proves Alex was the gunman, in your opinion?
Well, you know, the new information, it still leaves open the question of whether or not most of the case is built around his emotions at the time. You know, the prosecution has to prove that there's evidence that relates to this murder that makes it clear it proves beyond a reasonable doubt that the offender that they have on trial is, in fact, the offender that did this crime. I haven't really seen anything new that's jumped out at me as striking against Murdaugh in that case. I realized that after watching some of the body cam footage that was released, showing some of the in-car footage where he was being transported, that, you know, he was emotional in some of that video. It did seem to me that, you know, maybe he, and each person deals with emotion differently, but maybe that he was a little traumatized by what he saw at the residence that night. Also, the, you know, viewing the nighttime footage of the approach to the crime scene, you know, that in and of itself adds a complexity to the crime scene investigation when the officers responded during the nighttime hours. And again, you know, it's more difficult to see at night than during the daytime. So there could have been things that could be overlooked, or the possibility of things being overlooked, especially at night.
Yeah, what did you make of that? Let's talk about that specific video first. The body cam footage of the officers literally pulling up the first time we see Alec on camera and his reaction to the officers coming out. What stood out to you there?
Well, just the fact that it seemed to be very dark. Apparently, there's no surveillance cameras in the area surrounding that. Mm-hmm. That there were multiple officers that were walking around shining flashlights. And again, just the complexities that the nighttime hours add to a crime scene, to miss those small inadvertent clues such as shoe wear impressions, casings that could have been kicked around from their original state, things like that. This is just a different complexity than a daytime search would have been.
What about the reaction of Alec Murdaugh? Because within 60 seconds of the police arriving, Alec was already trying to steer them in a direction of motive for this. It wasn't, oh my God, they're dead. You know, what can I do? We had this boat accident and people have been making threats and this must be what it is. Is that common when you pull up on something or someone is standing there at a crime scene and you don't know if they're a suspect or anything yet, but they're immediately feeding you the motive?
I think it's hard to say for sure when you're dealing with people, because everyone handles traumatic situations differently. Mm-hmm. One of the big issues is what was the amount of problems that they were dealing with as a family related to the boat accident? Mm-hmm. And that could have been fresh on his mind, because I know there were some emotions when the boat accident occurred and the young lady was killed. There were some emotions in the community that addressed that specific incident. So the family could have been dealing with things that the general public wasn't aware of. That could have been fresh on his mind. The emotional state of him, you know, whether or not those tears were real or were they fake tears, it's hard to determine, because again, people's emotional states vary from person to person. So I think, you know, if there was some background that illustrated that he was dealing with threats against the family, then that might have been something he would have brought to the forefront during the early minutes of the investigation.
It's easy for all of us to say, here's how I would handle this or this that way or this way. In reality, you're right. I mean, everyone does handle things differently. Some people's immediate switch when something horrible happens is justice. Here's who I think did this. Let's go find them. Let's go figure it out, because this is why I think it happened. Not saying it's wrong or right in this case, but it did stand out to me as being odd. I don't know that I'd be doing that. I'd probably be doing that at some point, but it just seemed almost steering in a certain direction. And I say that because I think it's the fact that we're able to see a lot of this in hindsight as a whole bigger picture, because it does feel like there was a lot of attempts by Alec Murdaugh to steer the investigators in specific directions when talking with them over the next series of days when he's in the vehicle, when he's being interrogated, specifically kind of trying to become buddy-buddy, it almost felt like. And so saying things that really had nothing to do with the crime or the murders. I noticed at one point he's going and trying to relate to them. Hey, you know, so-and-so. I think I do. Yeah, he was staying in my property when he was going to school here to be an officer. And he's a pretty good officer now. And, you know, he's a good boy. That sort of stuff of just, I'm buddy-buddy with police officers. Look how good I am and look how safe I am. It all really kind of felt like a tactic of diversion from the case itself and him trying to align himself with them.
Yes. So trying to take the forefront in the interrogation process. Yeah. I could see where that could be advantageous. Also, in the alternative, the authorities that are investigating this case, we always approach violent crimes like this with the idea that someone close to them could be the potential perpetrator, and most of the time is most likely the potential perpetrator. So on the flip end of that, you also have to be able to establish a rapport with individuals that you're interviewing. And that could have been a strategy on the law enforcement's part too.
Do you think they treated Alec, though, like he was the perpetrator, or that he was a potential perpetrator from the beginning? I mean, I think that maybe came on down the road a little bit. It almost felt at the beginning that it's Alec Murdaugh. You know, he's the head of this, you know, over here in this part of the area, and it couldn't possibly. It almost felt like there was some special treatment going on. Did you get that vibe? You would know. You'd be able to answer that better than I could, being in law enforcement.
Yes, maybe from the beginning. You know, every community is going to have those individuals that are well known within the community, and it could have actually taken that approach in the beginning. But at some point in time in the investigation, someone's going to have to realize that we're going to have to ask difficult questions of this individual, whether it's Alec Murdaugh or not.
Yeah.
So there's going to come a time and place where hard questions have to be asked and hard answers have to be given. But in the beginning, yeah, they might have been a little friendly.
Having that attitude, having that little bit too friendly thing going on there, did they end up missing some evidence? Did they end up missing opportunities to collect things that would have been crucial in this? I was honestly surprised that we haven't seen more evidence come out, things from door handles, whether it be DNA, fingerprints, or cleaning solutions or something. It was a horribly bloody crime scene. We've heard this last week of the hose apparently being placed in a strange way, not as the groundskeeper would have put it. Things like that just would have seemed to, if looked at a little bit closer, given them more information, whether it would have led to Alec or not, there just seemed to be some things that were very, very much overlooked.
Yeah, well, we approach all death investigations as if they're homicides until we learn differently. But especially when you have two individuals who are deceased from gunshot wounds, you automatically have to start thinking that this is the most serious offense that I can deal with. And scene security has got to be crucial. And that includes family members, friends. Everyone should have been removed from that scene. And the other aspects of the investigation, such as the interviews or the interrogations, could occur at a different place. But the longer that an individual remains in that scene, the more risk that they have at contaminating it.
Well, and it felt odd. Did it feel odd to you at all, the body cam footage the following day when they were looking around for the bullets and everybody was just kind of sitting around in a room at Alec's house, and investigators were kind of moving around, but there's Alec and his family and friends just kind of chilling. I don't know why the whole place was at lockdown as a crime scene. It seemed very bizarre to me, the way that it was being handled. Was this another example of kind of the privilege that he had going on there, his clout in the community, that those sort of things were just, you know, it's a human error. They maybe you look back and go, shit, maybe we shouldn't have done it that way.
It could have been. It's very similar to the issues that Colorado ran into with the JonBenet case. Mm-hmm. They were trying to conduct a crime scene investigation there and had family members throughout the house. And you don't know where you're likely to find evidence. You could find evidence anywhere in that house. So it's always easier to reduce the size of your crime scene than it is to increase the size of your crime scene. Investigators should always be thinking, we have to start big here. Mm-hmm. Our crime scene should be as large as it needs to be in the initial portions of this investigation, because it's easier to shrink that crime scene than it is to expand it and not risk as contamination. Mm-hmm. So yes, it would have been better off to secure the residence, the property, because you don't know where you're going to find evidence related to this crime. And you need to be thinking that if this is in fact a murder, that the likely perpetrators could be closely related to the victims.
Yeah. Or they could be sitting in that same room with you at that moment in time. It's just been very fascinating to watch all of it unfold. What have you made about the emotions of Alec as well? Again, it's one of those things, everyone deals with the trauma differently, but it almost seems with Alec and what we know about his personality, his ability to lie, his ability to deceive people, people that he's known his entire life, financially stealing millions of dollars, and almost being able to be a different type of person, turning it on and off, this kind of almost learned behavior of I'm going to be very upset right now, or I'm going to be your best buddy and I'm going to talk completely fine. My voice sounds normal to, oh my God, my family's dead. And then the next second later, hey, yeah, Miss Peggy Sue down the road makes those great muffins. It seems scary the way he's flipping back and forth. Normally when someone is going to cry or having emotions, it's not a 0 to 100 event. It's a slow build. You kind of build into it. With Alec, it almost seems like, oh, I should be crying at this moment in time, so let me go all out. And then when he's done, it's done. It's like the switch just turns off. Does the extreme swings in emotion strike you as bizarre with him?
Yes, it could. I mean, it could come across as an individual who is maybe unremorseful, that is trying to pretend to show emotion.
Yeah.
And I think naturally, I would agree with you that naturally, you know, a lead up to an emotional thing, whether it be crime or whether it be the fact that I'm sitting in this seat, this hot seat, if you will, during this criminal trial, that something is going to cause me to try to hold back some emotion and maybe not let everyone see it all at once. But yes, it does come across as either 0 to 100.
What do you think we're going to hear? Are we going to hear an explanation on this timeline of Alec Murdaugh? Because that's one of the most damning things I think that he has against him. The things that he professed to be doing at certain times have been proven to not be what they were. And it doesn't necessarily mean he was holding a gun and shooting his family, but it isn't what he said he was doing. So if there was something else going on, why would that not have already been explained by now? Or are we going to end up hearing that, do you think, when the defense takes their spotlight in the coming week?
Yeah, I think the defense is going to have the opportunity to explain away maybe some of those inconsistencies about what Mr. Murdaugh was doing at the time. I think from the prosecution standpoint, it leads into deception. Mm-hmm. And they're intended to show that the deception was because he was a suspect in this murder case. I think the defense may try to show that it's an oversight, maybe a simple oversight that, yes, he did say certain things about what he was doing at the time, but he just happened to forget about, you know, other places he may have been. So I think they will try to explain it that way. I don't know that as a defense that they would leave that out there from the prosecution's case in chief looking like deception.
Detective Jason Howe, thank you so much for your insight into this. It's very valuable and very much appreciated. Thank you for listening. If you like the program and you like a commercial-free experience, sign up to get it through Apple Podcasts. You can try it for 3 days free. Get access to all of the cases that we're following for you, all ad-free on Apple Podcasts right now when you become a premium subscriber. My name is Tony Bruschi. You can follow me on Twitter at TonyBPod. Until next time, for all of us, thanks for listening.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Target, Nike, and Instacart. Stack sales on top of cash back and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing the savings. It's easy to use, and you can get your cash back sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's Rakuten, Rakuten.com.
This is an ad by BetterHelp. Workplace stress is now a leading cause of declining mental health, with 61% of the global workforce feeling it more than ever. You can't escape work, but you can take small steps to care for yourself. A walk, some sun, a favorite song. Therapy is one of those steps, ongoing support to build resilience for whatever your day throws at you. Balance is tough. Getting help shouldn't be. Visit BetterHelp.com today for 10% off your first month.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.